You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
Well, amen. Let's open our Bibles to the second book of Kings and the 7th chapter, and thank you for the privilege of opening the book of God to the people of God today. While you're turning, I must admit that I miss the physical presence of Dr. Patterson here today. But for so many years being the object of his harassment continually, I will admit I feel a certain liberty in preaching today that I don't usually feel when I come here, not having to look over my shoulder while I'm here. We rejoice in every victory God is giving you here at Southwestern, and thank God for the privilege of being here today. I want to bring you greetings for just a moment from Guidestone. We're really the only Southern Baptist entity whose primary focus, is not necessarily the message of the gospel. The mission board's primary focus is getting the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. The seminaries of training you in the languages of the New Testament and the Old Testament to be able to translate the message of the gospel with power. Lifeway, to get the message of the gospel out through printed word. We're the only real entity whose primary focus is the messenger of the gospel. And that's why in our vision statement it says we exist to honor the Lord by being a lifelong partner with our participants in enhancing their financial security. What we want to do is get the next couple of generations on our watch to that place of vocational retirement, because we'll never retire from ministry, but to vocational retirement where we'll have enough financial security and dignity that we'll be able to unleash on the world the greatest force of volunteers on missions the world has ever seen. And that's a real part of what that free life insurance policy we provide for you is all about, to get you started early so that you can come into relationship with us. And all you have to do is just sign up for it. And I thank you, Dr. White, for those words, and I want to encourage you to do that and hope you'll stop by one of the book tables when you're on your way out and pick up that book that we have to give to you today. In 2 Kings chapter 7, we come to verse 3. We see that the city of Samaria has been besieged now by the armies of Syria for some period of time. Desperation has set in. Starvation has set in. People are dying within the city walls as this great Syrian army has besieged the city. And then we've signed in verse 3 that there were 4 leprous men at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, 'Let's enter the city,' the famine's in the city, and we'll die in there. If we sit here, we're going to die also if we just sit here. So now come, let us go over into the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, so what? We're going to die anyway. We shall but die." So they arose at twilight. Get that picture. To go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. Now, for weeks and months, they'd been seeing those Syrians out there besieging. They got to the camp at twilight, and there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said one to another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the Egyptians to come against us." Now, remember in the preceding chapter, it was a miracle of sight where they saw those angelic hosts along the mountain. Now we come and God performs a miracle of the hearing. And those Syrians heard what sounded like these marching armies coming, and they fled in the middle of the night. So they fled away at twilight, abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent, and they ate and drank. Now, can you imagine a bunch of starving, dying lepers seeing a dinner table right there that had just been left? They ate and they drank. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. And when they came back and entered another tent, they carried off things from it and went and hid them. Then they said one to another, we're not doing right. We do not well. We're not doing what's right. This is a day of glad tidings, of good news. And if we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and let us tell the king's household this good news. And they went back and told the people of Samaria, and the city of Samaria was saved alive. You know, there are two senses, S-E-N-S-E-S, that ought to characterize every one of us who is in ministry. And all of you who are preparing for ministry. Uncommon sense and common sense. We ought to each possess both of those senses. First of all, uncommon sense. We call that the faith life. Sometimes when common sense says the situation is hopeless, we need to have the uncommon sense to believe God can make the impossible possible. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 6, I guess since you have the world's authority on the Lucan authorship of Hebrews here, I should say Luke said in Hebrews 11, 6, that without faith, it is adunatos. Without power, it's powerless. We have no power to please God. It, in fact, the translation says it is impossible to please God. Without faith, we need uncommon sense, the faith life. In fact, Paul said in Romans 14, he went a step farther. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. So every one of us in ministry should be characterized by this uncommon sense. And most of the messages you hear in this pulpit are about that. But I want to talk this morning about the other sense that you ought to possess. And that's common sense. Because, you know, in dealing with pastors for the last many decades, and especially the last 15 years at Guidestone, you know what I've found gets people in trouble as much as anything else? It's not necessarily uncommon sense. It's just a lack of common sense out there dealing with people in ministry. Common sense. You know, some only have uncommon sense. And so if they're not careful, it just emerges into some sort of wishful thinking. Others are only characterized by common sense. And so for them, everything that happens in their church can be explained by human terminology or human methodology or things like that. God expects you in ministry to have both uncommon sense and common sense. And the focus of our text this morning, really, when you think about it, is on common sense. These lepers just used some common sense. They began to say one to another. That phrase is repeated through this text. If we sit here, we're going to die. If we go in the city, we're going to die. If we go out there, we'll probably die, but maybe we won't. And they just put some common sense into practice. And because they did, the city of Samaria was saved. Common sense. Well, we find it woven throughout the Bible. It's exactly what happened in Acts 6. In Acts 6, that new church, which was a totally Jewish phenomenon in Acts 6, with multiplied numbers of believers by the time we get to Acts 6, made up of those Hebraic Jews and those Hellenistic Jews from the Greek-speaking world who had come there and been saved during the Holy Days and stayed there. And then all of a sudden, because those disciples came out of that Hebraic persuasion, these Hellenistic Jews, remember, they thought they were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food to their widows and things. And so what did Peter and the elders do? They just used some common sense. They appointed 7 deacons to wait on tables so that they could devote themselves to prayer and ministry of the word. And when you read those 7 deacons' names in Acts 6, you know what you find out about them? Every one of them had Hellenistic names. They appointed the deacons out of that group that thought they were being slighted. Just common sense. Same thing happened at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. What did Peter say? It said, it seemed right to us. They just applied some common sense. This is what Paul did. He's so commonsensical in so much of what he says. Settle your debts. Feed the poor. Forgive those. He applied not just uncommon sense, but common sense to what he does. Common sense is not that common in ministry anymore, unfortunately. But when we come to 2 Kings chapter 7, common sense takes center stage. Comes front and center on center stage. And I believe it emerges through basically every passage in this scripture. Now get the picture. The city of Samaria is besieged by this great Syrian host, led by Ben-Hadad, the cruelest army general who ever marched an army. And they have the city of Samaria besieged. They're starving inside. In fact, they are so desperate inside, and they're so hungry, and they're so starving, and there's so little supplies that they have reverted, some of them, to such desperate measures as cannibalism. That's how desperate the situation was in the city of Samaria when we come to verse 3 of 2 Kings chapter 7. Outside, there was plenty. The Syrian host had plenty of supplies, plenty of everything. Outside, there was plenty. Inside, there was poverty. Outside, there was determination. Inside, there was desperation. And in the midst of this scene, sat four lepers. Four leprous men sitting. They're just sitting there at the gate. They're not inside, and they're not outside. They're not helping anything, they're not hurting anything. They're just sitting there. Sitting at the gate of Samaria. And finally, they said to one another in verse 3, hey, this is crazy. Why are we just sitting here until we die? We're dying. Common sense kicked in. We're just sitting here. Why are we sitting here until we die? And then look at the four ifs in verse 4. If we go into the city, we're going to die. They're all dying in there. If we sit here, we're going to die. We're no better off than they are sitting here. If we march into the camp of the Syrians, we're going to die. They'll kill us before we even get in there. But if we march into the city, maybe they won't. What do we have to lose? Is what they came to the conclusion. And so they take off. They arose, verse 5 says, at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, thinking that any moment now they're going to hear some sentry holler, "Halt! Who goes there? Stop!" But the more they walk toward those tents and toward that camp, the quieter it gets. And there are no sentries out there. There are no watchmen out there. There's nobody telling them to stop. There's nobody telling them to halt. And finally they get there, and all of a sudden they look around and there's nothing there as far as people are concerned. They've all left. And one of them goes over into a tent and very quietly pulls the flap of that tent open and looks in. And nobody's in there, but the table is spread for dinner. He said, "Guys, you're not going to believe this. Come here." And they go in there and they sit down and they just start pigging out, man. They just start eating. Boom, 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 boom. They pass the mashed potatoes, pass the gravy, pass this, pass that. And they eat. And finally one of them says, "Man, I don't think I can eat another bite." And the other one says, "You don't have to. Look what I found. Silver and garments and all this stuff." And so they grab all that silver up and they run out and they hide it and they bury it. Now, when you do that, that'll work up an appetite. So they find another tent, and they go in the next tent, and they just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until they get stuffed again. And then one of them says, common sense kicks in again. They said one to another, "Hey, we're not doing right. if we wait until the morning light and the sun comes up and they all see that this city's been saved alive, we're going to be in trouble. We're not doing right. Let's go back and tell the king's household. And they went back, and the city of Samaria was saved alive. Common sense is telling us something in the exposition of these verses this morning. Three brief things I want to tell you that you can apply to ministry in a commonsensical way that, coupled along with uncommon sense in the faith life, will move you to a day of good tidings. Common sense is telling us something. Here's the first thing common sense is telling us today. Common sense is saying to you today, it is time to be realistic. We see that in verses 3 and 4. Some of us never gotten there yet. But common sense says it's time to be realistic. Now get the picture. They look at one another and they say, why are we sitting here until we die? They were realistic about the matter. They said, we're not doing anything. We're just sitting here and we're going to die. It's time to stop ignoring it. It's time to stop hoping that everything's going to get better. It's time to stop just waiting around and seeing it. Common sense teaches that it's time for us to be realistic. They were sitting. Why? When you have no hope in the future, you have no power in the present. Do you know that? The reason so many people live without power in the present is they got no hope in the future. And so here were these four lepers just sitting. You know, lepers are a bit indifferent. And we find them here sitting. Now, they're not hurting the situation at all. But they're not helping. Indeed, they're a lot like a lot of people in ministry, or they're like a lot of people in the church. They're really not inside, and they're really not outside. They're really not hurting. They're really not helping. They're just sitting. Have you thought about how much of our church work is taken up with just what these lepers were doing? Sitting. We go to church on Sunday morning to Bible study, and we sit. We go to worship service, and we sit. We go to committee meetings, and we sit. We go to mission meetings, and we sit. We go on Sunday night and we sit. We come back to prayer meeting on Wednesday night and we sit. And if you look at the average church member, the overwhelming majority, most all of their time in Christian activity is taken up with what we're doing right now, sitting. Common sense says, grabs us by the shoulders and shakes us and says it's time to be realistic. Why are we sitting here until we die? You know, when you're really dying, you do something. Some of you may be sitting while relationships are dying. There may be a relationship around you that's dying and you're just sitting. Some of you may be sitting while opportunities are dying that are out there and that are all around you. Uncommon sense is vitally important in the Christian life. I admit without it, it is impossible to please God. We can't do it. But so is common sense. And common sense says to us as Southern Baptists today, and as us as individuals today, and as us preparing for ministry today, it's time to be realistic and take stock of what we're actually doing for kingdom advancement. Why are we sitting here until we die, they ask. Common sense tells us a second thing. Not only does it say it's time to be realistic, but secondly it says it's time to be risky. It's time to be risk takers. It's time to take a risk. We see that this in verses 4 and 5, 5 through 8. Look at those four ifs in verse 4. If we say, let's enter the city. If we sit here, we're going to die. If we go out, they'll probably kill us. If we do, maybe they won't. Talk about common sense. There it is, personified. What do we have to lose? They said. Let's take a risk. Let's risk it. We sit here, we're going to die. If we go in the city, we're going to die. You know, if we go out there to the Syrians, they're probably going to kill us. But maybe they won't. Let's take a risk. We got nothing else to do. Let's risk it. Common sense teaches us that in ministry, that there is a time for all of us to be risky. And they took a risk and they moved out. God's kingdom seems to move forward when His people take risks. When did we stop taking risks? When did you stop taking risks? If we do this, if we do that, what would happen? You know, and looking over this message and this text last night, I thought about my own life. What if I hadn't taken a risk when I was 17 years old and was down here at the old public school's gym after a basketball game when I was a senior in high school and could count on that hand how many times I'd ever been in church in my life, did not know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were books of the Bible, and I grew up in this city. 3 months from high school graduation, and a young man witnessed to me at a basketball game. And then the next Sunday morning, took me to the Sagamore Hill Baptist Church over on the east side when I was 17. What if I hadn't taken that risk to open my heart and life to Jesus Christ? And then when I was 20 years old, summer before my senior year in high school, in the business school at TCU, about to take the LSATs to apply for law school, and Hurricane Beulah had come down and wiped out the levee area of Matamoras, and Jack Graham, who was there the day I was saved, my best lifelong friend, and I got on a Greyhound bus and went down there and lived with those people and rebuilt their lives, and God opened my heart, and I sensed Him calling me into ministry. What if I hadn't taken that risk? And after those years of undergraduate preparation, risk the call of God on my life to go into ministry. 22 years old, and I met a young girl from Austin, Texas. I was a student here at Southwestern, Susie Cavness at the time. What if I had to risk marrying her? Taking that risk. And on I could walk through my life and think about time after time after time. In Matthew 25, the whole parable of the talents is there because Jesus is trying to teach us that He wants His people to be a risk-taking people. You know what some of us do? We spend most of our time calculating why somebody else can do something and excusing why we can't. That's what a lot of churches do. I hear it often. I hear a lot of pastors spending a lot of their time calculating why this other church can do that and this other church can do that and this, and excusing why they can't. Common sense says it's time to be realistic, but it's also time to be risky. Our Lord didn't say the kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes out and sits down and waits for something to come to. He said it's like somebody who goes out and risks everything he has for that pearl of great price. And risks it all. The kingdom of God is always moved forward when His people took risks. What if Abraham hadn't have taken a risk to leave Ur of the Chaldees and everything he had ever known to go into that place? We just read a passage of Scripture a moment ago. What if Rebekah hadn't taken a risk to go with a man she'd never met, to marry a man she'd never seen, to live in a land where she had never been? Our movement began when people took risks. What if Moses hadn't taken a risk, wanted for murder back in Egypt when he heard the voice of God speak to him from a burning bush and say, "Come, Moses, I'll send you unto Pharaoh." Talk about a risk to go back and face Pharaoh. What about Joshua taking a risk to walk through that Jordan dry shod? And on and on and on we could go. Nehemiah, on and on. Our gospel began when a young teenage virgin girl took a risk to believe an angel's message. It continued when Joseph, talk about a risk, he risked being the brunt of every barroom joke in Nazareth when he took that pregnant girl to be his wife. But he risked it because he heard that angel's message. Our gospel continues when people take risks. What about those fishermen? What if they hadn't taken a risk to lay down their business, their livelihood, their nets, and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul, a member of the Sanhedrin, talk about taking a risk of pride and position to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther took a risk when he nailed those 95 theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg. Those pilgrim fathers risked everything, coming on rickety wooden boats across uncharted seas for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus risked the cross, believing that God would raise him on the third day. Common sense is trying to say something to us in ministry today. It's saying that it is time to be realistic. Secondly, it's saying it's time to be risky. But in the exposition, in verses 9 through 11, we see it says one final thing to us today. Common sense says it's time to be right. It's time to be right. They said, hey, look, we're not doing right. We're not doing right. We do not well. This is a day of glad tidings. We've been delivered. This is a day of glad tidings. But we're just sitting here holding our peace. Let's go and tell the king's household. Look at them. They're stuffing themselves with all of that food. And then common sense kicks in again. And they say, it's time to be right. I heard a message on this text 30 years ago. It was about the sitters and the getters and the goers and the tellers. You see, in the first part of this text, they're just sitters. They're just sitters. And then they get up and they progress. They do something. But what do they progress to? Getters. Just getting what they can get. A little more of this, a little more of this, food, 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 go, 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 get. Is this, be careful, is this just another tent for somebody here today? Just a place to get. The sitters became the getters, but then they did what's right, and they became the goers and the tellers. Do you see it? Look at the city of Samaria. Inside, they were paralyzed by ignorance because there was a non-existent army out there. Inside, they were paralyzed by fear, but there was nothing to be afraid about anymore. They're just like a lot of people were called to reach for Christ who are inside paralyzed by ignorance. Don't know that they can be set free. And some of us just sit. Some of us just are consumed with getting. Common sense says, look, they said one to another. There's that phrase again. Common sense. That's what common sense is. We say one to another. We're not doing right. This is a day of glad tidings. Where are you in this story? Are you a sitter? Is most of what you do for Christ taken up with sitting in class or sitting in study or sitting here or sitting there? Where are you in this story? Are you a getter? Is so much of what you've been about lately just getting all you can? Are you a goer and a teller? Common sense says it's time to be right. Use common sense. Blessing comes to those who are desperate. I may be speaking to somebody today just like these lepers. You're not outside. You're not inside. You're not hurting anything, but you're not helping anything. Just sitting. Verse 5, they said it was twilight. The sun was setting when they went out and took that risk. It may be that I'm speaking to somebody today and the sun is setting on some of your opportunities. There's not always going to be adequate time. I think it's important in verse 9 that it mentions if we wait till the morning light, there's not always going to be adequate time, enough time. Uncommon sense is vital. Without faith, you can't please God. Listen, we need to have the uncommon sense to believe God can make the impossible possible when common sense says the situation is hopeless. You can't please God without faith, but center stage takes common sense here and puts it up there. It's important in ministry. And so my challenge to you today is to take these four lepers with you throughout the years of your life and ministry. Do you know, I remember in seminary when I was here 40 years ago, I can still remember three or four seminary messages in chapel that formed my whole life's philosophy of ministry. And I can read them back to you today, exactly what they were. And I pray that as you go through your life and your ministry, you'll take these four lepers with you. And you'll not get away from this to see that when you get out there in ministry, or if you're already out there in ministry, that you can't please God without having uncommon sense. But use some common sense. Let these lepers guide you along the way. Common sense says, it's time to be realistic. Be realistic when you get out there. Don't just keep sitting when things around you are disintegrating. Be realistic about the situation. Part of the problem in denominationalism is today we've been sitting around for decades without being realistic as we just sit there while we die. And it's true in churches all around us. Take that with you. Let common sense teach you that it's time to be realistic. Let it tell you that it's time to be risky. God's kingdom always has moved forward when His people take risks. And common sense says, it's time to be right. If we wait until the morning light, it'll be too late. Let's go and tell the King's household. Father, seal these words in our heart for Christ's sake.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.